Hashtag hello and welcome. My name is the Alpha Female, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Whoa! G'day, mateys. Bushwhacker Luke here, 2015 Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk. Yeah! Whoa!
This is pro wrestling's only modern-day Viking Gunner, and you're on Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Nick Magnus Tolders, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hi, this is Levi Blue Pants Bates, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mount and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk. Hey, fellas, you guys have a great day, and this is only because I'm talking to Canadians. It is actually spitting snow in Tennessee.
See?
Oh, my God.
We've had 70-degree weather here. We really had a warm December, and I get on the phone with damn Canadians, and we're spitting snow, so.
Welcome to the longest running weekly episodic program that I've ever been a part of. And who am I? I am Carl Carafell. I am joined alongside Chris Best and the coughing OMD. And this is Turnbuckle Talk, episode number 367, WrestleMania Fallout. Hello. How's it going, guys?
Not bad. I mean, we've all had a long, long, busy day.
Yeah.
But now we're here to discuss our favorite thing in the entire world.
Not just a long, busy day, but a long, busy weekend. I mean, the amount of stuff that's coming out of the WWE specifically based off WrestleMania, based off Raw last night. I mean, holy cow, you know?
Yep.
There is a lot to go over, a lot to go through, a lot to break down, and including Monday Night Raw and things that happened during that show that are a little cryptid. Yes, we will get into that as well. Chris Best, what do you want to start with tonight?
You know what? Because she's on my screen right now, let's talk NXT call-ups. I got Roxanne Perez on my screen. She made her, I wouldn't say her main roster debut because she's already had a couple matches on the main roster, but what is looking to be her official call-up. And I've got to wonder, what is the path that's carved out ahead of her as far as the main roster goes? What are some dream matches that we could see out of her as well? And I'm posing that question onto you guys.
Again, with somebody like Roxanne, I do not want to see her rushed on the main roster. Like, do not just bring her up and thrust her into a title picture.
Oh, but she hasn't been rushed. She's already been in NXT for like 2 years now.
She has. But even still, like when they get up to the main roster, sometimes rushing them into that position can bastardize their career. They've taken their time with Jade, getting her onto the main roster and into the ring. Maybe do the same thing with a Roxanne. Don't rush her on the main roster. Take that laid back approach. Let her develop with somebody like a Tegan Knox, Dakota Kai. Let some of those things build.
She had a run-in with Natty last night.
I know.
My issue with both of the NXT stars that we saw last night on Monday Night Raw boils down to them being the champions. Now, Roxanne just got that championship.
Right.
Ilya Dragunov recently got that championship. So if they are the champions of that brand, why are we putting so much of an effort into trying to get them to a main roster when they would be good for your NXT brand? Good enough that they are the champions of that brand. Now, what about former champions who should be given that call up, we'll say, or that brand shift over to WWE's Raw or SmackDown. That's where my biggest thing comes in. Why are we trying to take away the champions from that show?
Right. I get exactly where you're coming from. And I mean, another case in point for you is a guy like Bron Breakker, who has been signed to SmackDown, and then they gave him the NXT tag team titles, and now he's, again, thriving in NXT.
Right.
He's still working SmackDown, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we could also travel all the way back to the first NXT champion who was called up, that being Kevin Owens.
Yeah,
Kevin Owens was thrust right into the spotlight, though, when he got called up, and thrust right into a feud with John Cena.
Yeah.
But I think Kevin Owens in that situation was well-deserved for that. Could handle it, given what he had done on what is being considered the independent scene before. Samoa Joe, for the majority of wrestling fans, was a household name already.
Mm-hmm.
Before he came to NXT or to either Raw or SmackDown. So that one I can see. Ilya Dragunov, not so much of a household name when it comes to professional wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
And Perez, not so much. Even if we were still to have called her Rock C, still really not as much.
Right.
I don't know.
I think with Roxanne's last night, it was alluded to last week on NXT and leading into Stand and Deliver, as Lyra confronted her and said, you know, you may not have lost the title, but Indy Hartwell was the one that went and climbed the ladder, and now you're seeing them mimic the Liv Morgan revenge tour with Roxanne Perez.
Right.
And right. She's got this hit list.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Carla, I want to bunk off what you said about Roxanne and Ilya Dragunov not being well known. Last night on the Raw Patrol, when Roxanne Perez came out for her match, Bubba asked, "Who is she? I don't know who she is." And we did inform him on who she is, right? You know?
Yep.
Right. See? And that's what I mean. And I mean, okay, mm-hmm. so he is somebody who is a watcher of WWE, Raw and mm-hmm. SmackDown, right? Not so much NXT or
right.
AEW or, you know, New Japan, Ring of Honor, Impact, or sorry, TNA.
Mm-hmm.
We need to call it TNA now. Yeah. So, I mean, in that case, right, somebody who still comes and talks with us and enjoys professional wrestling is somebody who was saying, who is that?
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure he was familiar with Ilya, but like I said, Roxanne Perez, not so much.
Slightly familiar. Yeah.
And you talked about former champions that need to be called up, and I'm certain he is called up, but Mello, he needs I want to see more of him. He hasn't been utilized as much on the main roster.
Yep.
And maybe that's where the draft comes into play, and we actually figure out where these NXT call-ups are going to lay, you know?
Yes.
Right. And there's a name that hasn't really necessarily been showcased as, you know, a massive star that's, you know, championship type of quality, but definitely is, and that's Joe Gacy.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, like, there is another name that has that or should have that opportunity to be able mm-hmm. to come over to Raw or SmackDown, because I feel that Joe Gacy has done so much in NXT and has helped NXT thrive.
Yes.
That when he does make that crossover to Raw or SmackDown, that they're going to know who Joe Gacy is,
right,
without having to compromise your newly crowned, recently newly crowned champions.
Right. Could we put a guy like Dijak in that same boat?
They've tried with Donovan several times. So I don't know if that's maybe the third time's the charm, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time's the charm. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. This current incarnation of Dijak needs just a little bit more seasoning, just a little bit more. Maybe by SummerSlam, he could get that call up. Maybe.
Okay. What are your thoughts, Chris? Because you got ours.
Yeah, frankly, I'm excited to see Dragunov on the main roster, but it's like you said, Carl. I just don't know if calling him up while he's a champion was the right move. The same thing goes for Roxanne. I wanted Roxanne to get called up last year. I wanted Joe Gacy to get called up last year.
Right.
And they're not called up yet.
I forgot, we're not using the term called up, called over.
Yes.
Yes.
They're not yet. Mm-hmm. They have just been given the go ahead to be part of the draft.
Right. Yeah.
Could this, you know, appearance last night on Raw for either of them just be because they won their respective matches at Stand and Deliver over WrestleMania weekend?
Had they not announced that these two were now part of the draft, then yes, I think that's exactly what that would have been for, to give a little bit of a shine towards NXT. Are they still giving a shine to NXT? Yeah, they definitely are in that respect, but it's in a totally different avenue now and for a totally different reason than just to get people to go and watch the NXT program. This is now, we're showing you people because, well, they're going to be part of the draft and they're going to be crossing over to somewhere.
Okay, so couldn't they have just done something simple like a video package, maybe, to let everyone know who these people are? And I know that last night's Raw didn't have the proper Titantron for that, but...
Right. They could have. They could have. I mean, it's not big yet, but the WWE is really starting to branch out into the socials and Wednesdays at noon Eastern time on X. They have Speed, WWE Speed, that's going on. Mm-hmm. So if they want to try to build that social game bigger than it already is, because let's be honest, their social game is absolutely massive. But why not use YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X, all of these different platforms that are available for them in huge numbers to do something like that?
Right.
Especially not having a Titantron.
Right.
They could have, if they still wanted Ilya and Roxanne to wrestle on Raw last night, they could have been like, hey, tune into Raw and then you'll see this, and then flash up a video of Ilya Dragunov and what he's done in NXT. Same thing for Roxanne Perez, you know, and maybe same thing, and do the same thing for if there's going to be call ups on SmackDown, because we still got the post WrestleMania SmackDown to come.
Yes, we do.
Yep. Yeah. But so I think that something like this could be very beneficial for the social media game for them. They could revolve everything about this draft around the socials.
Mm-hmm.
They could. And it would be absolutely amazing if they did. because then that's going to get people buzzing about the socials as well. Man, you're not following the WWE on this platform? Dude, you're missing out, because this is what they did. This was announced. This is what they showed us. I mean, it's right there for them, and they're only going to continue to build that social game. Bulk says, I enjoyed the surprises, though. Yeah, definitely. Oh,
we definitely did.
Absolutely. Oh, 100%. 100% we enjoyed the surprises. We just think the thing, I think, anyways, that things are just going a little bit of an odd way for me.
And that's the interesting thing, though, is because we are in this new era right now. It's a lot of uncharted waters as far as what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. And as we've seen all of this crossover between Raw and SmackDown from the Rumble through now.
Yeah.
Do we see that continue even with the draft, or do we get some sense of stability for a while?
Ooh, good question. I don't think that we're going to get any type of stability per se. Everything right now, even though we're in a new era within the WWE, everything still kind of feels the same. They're still going about things in the same form and fashion that they have done before. Now, granted, those worked. So why fix something if it isn't broken? Yes, that analogy holds true.
Yeah.
But if you want to grow, you need to adapt and change. There's another analogy for you.
Yep.
What do you say we talk about, since I did mention the new era, the amount of championship changes that happened at WrestleMania? I mean, only two titles stayed within the same camp. Logan Paul retaining the U.S. title, Rhea Ripley retaining her women's championship, but all the other belts changed hands. Bayley is your new WWE women's champion. Damian Priest is your new WWE World Heavyweight Championship. He's not the belt. Cody Rhodes is your new WWE Undisputed Universal Championship. I'm still trying to, that's a tongue twister for me sometimes. Sami Zayn is your new Intercontinental Champion. Mm-hmm. Where do we see? We already know what Damian Priest's path is. He's got Jey Uso coming up at Backlash on May the 4th be with you.
Yep.
We know the path for Sami Zayn, Chad Gable next week. Mm-hmm. But what is the path for Bayley? And what is the path for, what's the path for the tag team champions? Because I forgot about them. They both tag titles got split.
Right. They did. They did.
Oh, it's just, you know what I mean? Oh, like, yeah. So many paths that we can explore right now.
Let's explore this comment here just for a moment. I want to give a huge shout out to Throwback. Thank you so much for coming in, my brother. I hope you are doing well. I really do. I hope you and the family are doing good. Saying, what's good, guys? NXT, Stand and Deliver was great. The only complaint that he had, it was Braun Breaker's performance. He seemingly did not hit some moves as we figure he should have, and he needs to slow down. Do you think he is still main roster ready, or should they kind of keep him back in NXT for a little bit longer? Let's answer that one quick here.
I did not get to see this match. Okay. I finished work at noon on Saturday. I missed the pre-show, and I missed that match. I do think Braun is still main roster ready. I think being able to work up there and gain that experience with some of the other talent up there and the more experienced talent, that can really help him flourish.
Okay. Chris?
I, too, think he's main roster ready. However, I and I'm probably contradicting myself because of the fact that he is a champion on the main roster. I do like the fact that he's going back and forth between Raw and SmackDown, or I mean SmackDown and NXT, because it's kind of opening the curtain slightly on Braun to the main roster, but still keeping him in NXT, still letting him get that seasoning that he just that little bit of extra seasoning to make sure he fully goes to the roster. And that's going to be very, very soon. I believe right after the draft, he's another one who's going to go strictly to the roster, the main roster, and stay there.
Okay.
Interesting.
I do want to say this to throwback, and I appreciate his comment. The biggest complaint I had from the night was what seemed to me like a rushed finish of Mello versus Trick at Stand and Deliver.
Okay. Interesting, man.
See, I thought that finish played out pretty nicely.
I don't know. I haven't seen Stand and Deliver, so I can't give any information on that, unfortunately. Yeah, work had me doing a lot of different things, and unfortunately I was not able to catch that. Good stuff though from throwback, like bringing that up. Absolutely love it. And that is exactly what we encourage here. We encourage you to talk along with us. Leave your comments here for us, whether you are part of the Twitch stream or you were part of our YouTube stream, either or. Leave your comments for us. We will get to them. We do put them on the screen for you as well. So let's move back over to all the championships that changed hands at WrestleMania.
Yeah, so let's start off with Miz and R-Truth, whom I thought, and I'm glad it didn't happen, I thought we're going to lose the tag belts last night. Now I'm curious about where they're going with them. I think they do stick with the Judgment Day for the time being.
Okay.
But I'm very curious about what's the path afterwards.
Understandable.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I think you're right, but which two members of the Judgment Day? Is it going to be, we know Dom has Andrade next week on Raw. Is it going to be Finn and JD, the two Irish guys? Do we get that regular alliance of JD and Dom? Or do we see Finn and Dom team up?
I personally think it's going to be Finn and JD.
Okay.
I kind of like that dynamic there, Carl.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Me too. JJ, good to see you, brother. Thank you so much for popping in. Appreciate you.
What's going on, JJ? I kind of like that dynamic of JD and Finn, because that's teacher and student as a tag team.
Right?
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I think it would be fantastic.
I wonder though if do we need Finn to regain the tag team championships though?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to stick with the JD and Dom pairing. And maybe they get JD up and get him some wins and get JD and Dom the tag belts. And Dom or Finn can challenge Sammy for the Intercontinental title. And the Judgment Day then takes on that same type of role that the Bloodline had with all of the gold on Raw.
Okay, that's interesting.
I do like that, but I can see Finn challenging, like not right away, because I think we're gonna get a whole angle between Sammy and Chad Gable. Because I really think that I think that next week's match isn't gonna be the last match. There's going to be a match at Backlash, I bet, for the championship.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Yeah, so okay, so lots of title changes, lots of things happened. Let's kind of break things down, and we'll go night by night, and just get your guys' thoughts on the matchups themselves and your takeaway from it. Night one, we started out, the very first match was Rhea Ripley, the champion, defeating Becky Lynch by pinfall in 17 minutes and 5 seconds. Chris Best, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so in this match, we got exactly what I didn't want to see. We got, I said on the show, I did not want a 60-second squash match, which seemed to be pretty typical of Rhea and her first matches with people on PLEs over the last year. We got a nice 17-minute fantastic opener. There were a couple of slip-ups in that match. I mean, Becky slipping on the second rope, I think, when she went to go dive off of it. But that's also chalked up to cold weather. You guys know we've all been in a cold ring, and those ropes can get slippery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic opener. Still not my best WrestleMania opener, though, because that still belongs to Bret and Owen.
Okay. Okay.
OMD. Again, fantastic match. Probably Rhea's longest match of her title reign. Chris alluded to the weather and the issues. Becky's health, Becky going out there and competing with strep throat and having had a fever of 102 as of Friday.
Right.
You know, masterful performance on her part. She's giving it her all. Didn't get what I was expecting out of that match, which was Rhea doing the Eddie Guerrero lying, cheating, and stealing to get this rivalry to continue.
Okay.
But I think it also now opens up new possibilities, and Becky can take some time off. Because she's been running herself into the ground with all of these other matches, these hardcore and last woman standing matches.
Right. But yeah, that just seems to be what Becky does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's a worker, and she works hard.
Yeah.
JJ is saying that Rhea was masterful from entrance to exit. Fantastic.
Yeah, she was, JJ.
Agree.
Oh, yeah. I mean, motionless and white, playing her to the ring.
Right.
Friggin' awesome. Friggin' awesome. Yeah. I've gone back and watched that entrance a couple of times now.
Yep.
I think this was a perfect match to start, essentially start WrestleMania. It held up. It did what it needed to do. It got everybody hyped, but not hyped to a point where they are now drained,
mm-hmm.
but allowed them to set the tone and set the pace for the rest of the weekend. And I think that they captured that beautifully.
Yes.
Yes. Because coming out of that match, I was excited about that match. And in the back of my mind, I was going, okay, what's next? What are we getting next? I can't wait to see what's next. And that was the theme of the weekend, in my personal opinion, was it left you wanting more in a good way.
It did. What was next? What was next? What was next? Oh, that was a six-team tag team matchup with a ladder, several, and tables, and chairs. Yep. Oh, my.
And gold. Well,
and lots of gold hanging from the rafters as we crowned new tag team champions on both brands, now having the Judgment Day being Finn Balor and Damian Priest losing those championships first to A-Town Down Under,
mm-hmm.
and the Awesome Truth. What?
Right? I certainly did not have A-Town Down Under on my bingo card for the year.
both teams were not on my roster to win. On my radar, not my roster, I should say. I literally thought that we were still going to see unified tag titles somehow. And right. I only picked DIY to win.
Yeah. No,
I still had Judgment Day winning, but I thought New Catch Republic was going to be taking one of those championships. Yeah, not so much. Turns out they didn't.
No.
Yeah.
I had DIY winning and going to SmackDown with the Awesome Truth winning the Raw.
Okay, so you were partially right.
Yep. But I did have, you know, and I wouldn't have been upset had Judgment Day retained one set of belts, but we got what we wanted, which was the titles split.
Right.
And what needed to happen.
Definitely was needed to happen.
You know, I do like the aspect on SmackDown that even though they're not actually a fully functioning group, you do have that Logan Paul with A-Town Down Under interaction.
Right.
And now you've got the belts on all three of those guys.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which further intrigues me to see what they're going to do as far as SmackDown goes.
Yes.
Understandable. This matchup, it didn't turn into the issues that I thought it was going to turn into. There is always room for a cluster to happen when it comes to multiple person or multiple tag teams in a matchup together. I'm happy with how this match went. It went at a good pace. It was 17 minutes and 25 seconds of really getting two teams at a time inside this matchup.
Yeah, but no word of a lie, Carl.
Rotating out.
Yeah, no word of a lie, Carl. Before the match even started, when I flashed up the match graphic on the PLE Patrol, I said, get ready for a car crash. And it was a good car crash, though.
But it really didn't turn into a bad car crash.
No, I mean, the biggest real situation in that was the New Catch Republic's double moonsault off of one ladder. You had R-Truth's comedic gold with the hot tag in a ladder match.
Right? That's awesome. Good stuff, though.
It is.
Yeah, it is definitely good stuff. Yeah, all in all, this matchup was good, did what it needed to do, got us new champions on each brand, and we are excited.
Yes.
Next, they went to another.
Yeah, it will be a match that I. Yeah, it will be a match that I will gladly go back and check out again.
We did follow that up with another tag team match. There was multiple tag team matches that happened on night one. This one went 11 minutes and 5 seconds as we had Rey Mysterio and Andrade with Carlito, Cruz del Toro, Joaquin Wilde, and Zelina Vega defeating Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio, who had Angel, Berto, and Electra Lopez at ringside. And that was actually done by pinfall, which I'm surprised. I thought that we were going to get a disqualification of some sort, and that's how we were going to get a winner. But it turns out it was actually pinfall.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I hated the idea that this match was just so shoehorned in at the last minute. But boy, did they pull out the stops, all four of these dudes. They showed me, like, hey, yeah, this match was last minute added, but we deserve to be on the WrestleMania card just as much as the next guy does.
Yep. This was the sleeper match of the weekend for me.
Okay.
Even with the, you know, added shenanigans from Legato and LWO, there was no actual interference. So, I mean, we got that surprise that, you know, you get that highlight from Joaquin Wilde being tossed off of the, or thrown 14 yards from the rope. You right. get the Philadelphia Eagles players coming in towards the end. It delivered everything.
Yeah.
Everything you could ask and more for mm-hmm. a last minute match.
Perfect. Perfect. Maybe not perfect matchup, but perfect that it was by pinfall and that we didn't have
mm-hmm.
shenanigans per se. This oh, we is so, unfortunately well,
we sort of did with the fly with the Eagles players. Sort of did.
Sort of. Sort of. This is unfortunately the time when I had to leave. I had other things that needed to be done on night one of WrestleMania, and I left to go and do that. But interestingly, the next match was also 11 minutes and 5 seconds in length. It was a singles matchup where Jey Uso defeated Jimmy Uso. OMD, start with you. Give me your thoughts on this one.
For all of the flack that this match has taken online in the last few days, it wasn't that bad. This okay. was put into that cool down spot.
Right.
And really, for the third ever brother versus brother match at WrestleMania, did it live up to what we really wanted? No, but it wasn't as bad as just being a super kick fest.
Okay.
I mean, if we go back 15 years, Hardy versus Hardy was not a great match at WrestleMania. Bret versus Owen was fantastic. We didn't have them all hitting the same moves at the same time, like trying to do the flying cross bodies. We knew it wasn't going to be a technical masterpiece because that's not what the Samoan Dynasty and the Anoa'i Fatu family are all about.
Right.
But for me, this match delivered. It didn't end anything by any stretch.
Okay.
This will carry on into the future.
And carry on we will to Chris Best.
Yeah, and I sort of want to correct OMD and myself and the WWE on this being the third ever brother match at WrestleMania.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to give him a moment to
yes.
unfreeze and catch up here. And I'm intrigued to find out
because
there's a fourth one at all.
I'm sorry I froze there, but I was saying himself, this is...
Yeah.
yeah. Am I here? Am I here?
you
yeah.
are here.
Yeah,
okay.
You were here.
So I was saying that this was... So like I was saying that WWE, we've also been saying this is the third ever brother versus brother match at WrestleMania, but it's not. It's actually the fourth because we forget to mention Undertaker and Kane at WrestleMania 14. And I'm speaking from a kayfabe sense on that one.
Yeah.
Yes, because even WWE has said it's the third time real brothers have
fought yeah.
at WrestleMania.
And going into this match, I mean, that bar that Bret and Owen set whenever there's a brother, whenever there's a relative fighting a relative at WrestleMania. I mean, I always compare to Bret and Owen, and I probably shouldn't because that's a whole different era.
Right.
But you just can't beat Bret and Owen. This was a great match, though, and it was a great jumping point to start their feud. And I know that we're going to get cooled off for a little bit because Jay's now got Damian Priest to worry about.
Correct.
Or does he? Because a scenario popped in my head at Backlash What if Jay shows up and costs Jimmy the championship?
Well, could happen. Could happen.
But it was a fantastic match. I enjoyed it.
Good. One that is getting as well a little bit of flack on the interwebs is a 6-woman tag team matchup that went 8 minutes and 5 seconds, where we saw Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi defeat Damage Control's Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane by pinfall. Chris, we're going to start with you. Give me your thoughts on this matchup.
This match was everything it needed to be. I'm just going to put that out there for the internet fucking IWC complaining about everything. I know that they're complaining about Asuka and her not winning a WrestleMania match. Be patient, people. She will get her Mania win. It just wasn't this year. Like, come on. Like, she's still getting her WrestleMania payday for being a part of the show. She's still putting on fantastic matches at WrestleMania. She doesn't need to win at WrestleMania all the time.
Yep. For me, the highlight of this match was Damage Control's entrance with the Geisha Girls. Sure. Other than that, it was sort of a blink and miss it.
And here's the other thing, too. A lot of people I've been reading saying they wanted more Jade Cargill in that match. I didn't want more Jade Cargill in that match. I got the perfect amount of Jade Cargill in that match. Right. I feel like all she needed was come in, hit her big moves, just to give you a little sample of what to expect out of Jade going forward. And we got that again last night on Raw when she beat the piss out of Chelsea Green.
Yep. And to go to last night, that, you know, like, I did want to see a little bit more of Jade. Again, I didn't get what I was expecting, which was her to sort of try and run the match and show up Naomi and Bianca instead of being more of this team player and garner some heat for herself. What I saw last night on Raw was that they don't know what to do with her, so they're just going to give her this 2-minute female Goldberg type of match.
And that was perfect enough for me, because we know she can sort of wrestle. She's still green in the WWE, but just getting those little samples of Jade is working perfectly well for me right now.
Okay.
Good. Good, good stuff. Perfect examples. Let's talk about a perfect example for a moment. A perfect example done in 15 minutes and 30 seconds was a singles match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship, where we saw the champion of 666 days, Gunther, defeated by Sami Zayn. OMD, start with you. Give me your thoughts.
What a match. Wow. My mind was blown. For me, that was the match of night one.
Okay.
Sammy's heart, his perseverance, you know, you saw all the build up to it with, you know, as he alluded to, seeing Chad out there and saying, no, you go and do this on your own. Seeing his wife and his son, and then his best friend right there at Gorilla.
Okay.
If that was you going out for that type of match and I'm standing there at Gorilla getting you fired up, what are you going to do?
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the only issue I had with this match was when he started flopping like a fish in the middle of the ring.
That was a little strange.
Looked like he was having a seizure.
Okay. See, this is something that I have to go back and watch because I have not seen it as of yet. Chris Best, what were your thoughts? How did you feel about this matchup?
I mean, the reaction I had on the PLE Patrol says it all. And I didn't even realize that I was doing this. But at the start, from bell to bell, my mouth, my jaw was just agape with everything going on in that match. And then me doing this all the time, just reacting to everything. Okay. It was just everything that happened in that match was just pure gold. The emotional roller coaster that match brought you on. Just wow.
Yeah.
And just,
but that is something that Sami Zayn can pull out of people, though.
Yeah. And that's something that Gunther can do too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, post WrestleMania weekend, OMD and I were sitting there, we're like, it's strange now that Gunther does not have the Intercontinental title. And it's still strange for me to even say that right now.
Yeah.
I get it.
But again, like, as I said, this whole Mania weekend left me wanting more. And now I'm curious about where we go with Gunther. I mean, we didn't see him on Raw last night.
No.
So I'm, there's just so many like paths that I'm on the road on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm on the road for wherever they take us.
I get it. I totally do. I fully understand. Joe, my brother, how are you? Good to see you and good to have you here with us. Thank you so much for popping in. I appreciate you. That takes us on night one to the last matchup that went 44 minutes and 35 seconds. Where the Bloodline, consisting of The Rock and Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman, defeated Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins once again by pinfall. Every matchup was won by pinfall minus the tag team ladder match for the championships because they're won a different way.
Of course.
Chris Best, let's start with you on this one.
So once again, you just blew my mind. You said it was a 44 minute match. It didn't feel like a 44 minute match.
Oh, really?
I literally thought it was shorter. That's how good this match was, because of the amount of stuff that they did in this match did not make it seem like it was 44 minutes. And
okay.
Again, the emotional roller coaster that Cody, Seth, Roman, Rock, even Paul Heyman brought us on. Just wow. Just
yeah.
Again. Yeah.
It was a roller coaster. I'm going to do something that neither of you ever thought you'd hear from me, but The Rock brought it.
The Rock was on, The Rock was on his A game. And he, dare I say it, and given his age, he did it a lot better than his match with John Cena, his matches with Cena.
Yeah, he was a lot crisper, a lot cleaner, kept the whole attitude of, you know, I am the final boss, intimidating the ref, essentially making that match Bloodline rules.
Right.
Yeah, because the match did spill out into the audience, and that was actually really cool to see.
Yeah. Don't you dare count or you're fired. The Rock doesn't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
If there's one match from night one, Carl, you got to go back and watch that one.
Okay. Definitely, I will at some point. I plan to watch the rest of night one. I definitely do.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a little bit before I can actually get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the entrances for this match were all about 5 minutes apiece.
Okay.
But those entrances, they were 5 minutes apiece, but even the entrances told a story of building that anticipation.
They did.
to the bell ringing.
And the Chris Parrish is letting us know that Cody Rhodes has set a WWE record by generating over $1 million in merchandise sales over the WrestleMania weekend. I don't know of a name that has done that in a long time.
Right.
I mean, maybe the last person might have been Austin, but not over a WrestleMania weekend.
No.
No.
Because back then, I believe Austin was only generating maybe $1 million a year in merchandise sales.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's an insane number, you know? Yeah. This proves that Cody is now the face of the WWE.
Yep.
I agree. I agree. That was night one. Yeah, we've gone through a lot already. We are already 56 minutes into this broadcast already, and we still have night number two to come as well. Perry says that he beat his record from last year, which beat Hulk Hogan's record. Okay. And well, it helps Cody is selling a belt. Yeah.
Yeah, the weight belt.
I do get that. The weight belts are probably like 80, 90 bucks. Probably.
So, and that I believe
would help.
I believe from what I was watching from fans who went to the WWE World, I saw some Cody Rhodes like robes that were being sold there as well.
Oh, yes, there was one front row last night I saw, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
On Raw. Mm-hmm. 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 Night two. We started off hot once again with a World Heavyweight Championship match. 10 minutes and 30 seconds, we saw Drew McIntyre finally in front of fans win that title by defeating Seth freaking Rollins by pinfall.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that match was 10 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow. It certainly seemed to be longer than that.
One of my favorite things in that match was the opening, the start of the match, the Claymore off the bat. OMD, Raid, and I were like, are we getting a Sheamus 18-second finish here? And then we see Seth powder out right away. And I'm like, okay, that actually had to have been a tribute to what Sheamus did to Daniel Bryan.
Right. And I thought the same thing. I was like, done. That Claymore, like, immediately, done.
Yeah.
We got a new champ. I thought it immediately.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it didn't. Thankfully, it went a little bit longer. And we got ourselves a good 10-minute matchup.
Yeah.
You guys have any other thoughts on that matchup before we move to what happened after the match?
I mean, I absolutely loved the match. Seth's ability to stay in and fight, making it last. Like I said, it seemed longer.
Right.
And it was actually short. Like I said, it's shorter than I shorter than I was figuring. Just a testament to Seth's work ethic and his abilities with all of his nagging injuries.
Right. Right. Before we get to the next little piece, the continuation of that matchup, we're going to continue with our previous discussion about breaking records. Parrish is letting us know that The Rock set a record by headlining a WrestleMania in four different decades, the 90s, 2000s, the 2010s, and now the 2020s. Good for him. Good for him. That's amazing to have something like that. And things like that, I think, should be recognized. Needs to be recognized. The only other person that I could think of that may have been able to do such a thing would have been like The Undertaker.
Yep.
But he can't even say that he has.
Yeah.
No.
Interesting. Interesting for sure.
Hmm.
What was even more interesting is we have this matchup that just happened. Drew McIntyre is on the announcer's desk, kind of taunting CM Punk. CM Punk then takes it upon himself to sweep the legs out from underneath Drew McIntyre, take off the metal arm brace that he had, and proceed to punch Drew McIntyre with that steel brace. And then we hear some music hit. And down comes Damian Priest to cash in his Money in the Bank contract. Finally, Senior Money in the Bank is cashing it in. And this match was only 9 seconds long, as we saw Damian Priest become our new world heavyweight champion.
Again, I love it. I can't be mad at it. It was, again, brilliant. It was a play on the heist of the century, but it certainly wasn't the heist of the century.
Right.
But very fitting, very well done. And I'm excited to see what the future holds for Damian Priest as our world heavyweight champion. I'm excited to see what the future holds for Drew McIntyre as he goes forward, pondering his next career moves.
Right.
Yeah. I'm totally excited that our boy Damian Priest is the world heavyweight champion. I also find it very interesting that in the weeks leading up to Seth versus Drew, Drew kept on saying to Seth, "Don't be distracted by the bloodline when you've got me." And how did he lose? By being distracted by CM Punk.
Right. Right? Everything always comes a little full circle. Little full circle, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I loved how all of this played out. It was beautiful storytelling.
Yeah.
For me. We move from that to a matchup that I was excited for, because I am a fan of one of these people, two of these people, I guess we could say. We had a Philadelphia street fight, which for me made it even better, because when I was working, that's what I did. I did hardcore matches. I was marking out hard when they announced Bubba Ray Dudley as the special guest referee for this 8-minute and 35-second matchup, where we saw the Pride, Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford, with B-Fab defeating the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Akam, and Rezar, with Scarlett and Paul Ellering. And they won that by pinfall. I didn't want the Final Testament to lose, but I understand what happened, what was going on, and I understand everything around it, because I've been in the business long enough too. I'm a fan of Karrion Kross. I'm a fan of Scarlett Bordeaux. I'm a fan of Bully Ray as well. So all of that put together just made this match happy for me.
Yes. Great cheap pop match. Gotta love the nostalgia factor for it.
Right.
I'm with you. I did not want to see the Final Testament lose. I'm a huge fan of Karrion Kross and AOP. So far, like, I see the Street Profits as having sort of suffered the most leading into this match, and I'm not talking in terms of getting beaten down by AOP and all of that. They've sort of gotten, again, they've lost their push there sort of by the wayside in terms of a tag team title hunt.
I feel that.
Right. But now with the split of the tag belts, we could see them back in that upper echelon. And now I get why the split of the tag belts happened. This match, though, I came in with the least amount of expectations out of this match. I'm a fan of all six guys. Love Montez Ford. Love Angelo Dawkins. Totally love Bobby Lashley. Matter of fact, I got to see his WWE debut on a non-televised event. So there's a little bit of that emotional factor for Lashley for me. Karrion Kross, AOP, I always wanted to see those guys on the bigger stage. So, you know, this match was totally, even though Karrion Kross and AOP did lose, this was a star-making match for them. I really do feel like we're going to get something bigger out of these three guys. Even Scarlett and B-Fab. B-Fab actually impressed me, given, especially from the last time I saw her wrestle, which she wasn't good the last time I watched her wrestle.
Right.
But Scarlett, I forgot that she was actually a decent worker with what she did there.
Right? Right? I have not forgotten.
No.
I have not forgotten.
Go back and check out Scarlett's work in TNA with Falaba.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I completely forgot about that because over the last few years, I've only seen Scarlett as a manager. So that's, you know, where my mindset goes with her now.
Yeah.
And even as old as he is, Paul Ellering getting involved too. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though he was still like on the safe side, he tried to trip up, I think it was like Bobby Lashley or something like that.
But still give that little bit, right? Still, yeah. Still involved in some way. Definitely.
Yeah. And then Bubba putting on the glasses. I was just like, okay, when are we getting to get the tables and the build to that? You could feel, you could hear the heat, like the crowd just started on a low roar and you could hear it build up until that moment happened. And hearing the 70,000 people saying get the tables threw me back to WrestleMania X7 when Bubba and Devon did that at that show.
Yep.
Including the WhatsApp in there and like everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For us older generation watchers, that was a beautiful nostalgia trip. And especially for it being in Philadelphia with the ECW roots and background in that area, it worked magically. That matchup was only 8 minutes and 35 seconds. It felt a little longer than that, but not in a bad way. I'm glad that it was given what it was needed. And I think it turned out nicely. This next matchup is one that I think flew under the radar for a lot of people. A simple singles match that lasted 12 minutes and 25 seconds. Surprisingly for me, we see LA Knight defeating AJ Styles in what was for me probably match of the night, minus obviously the big culmination of everything that happened at the end of Mania. Short of that, I loved this matchup, and I think that I want to see more from these two because they put on a showstopper. Chris, let's start with you on this.
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, the build to this feud was a little bit meh for me. Like, okay,
right.
We know that they're going to have a match. The whole, actually, LA Knight breaking in at AJ Styles' house and having that brawl was kind of cool. but everything else about it was meh. But I'm like, okay, I know these two guys can work. I know we're going to get a great work, a great workers match out of it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit back and enjoy this 10, 15 minutes or however long they went and just enjoy wrestling. As we all say, just enjoy wrestling. And that's what I got out of this match. Just pure, straightforward, no BS, one-on-one wrestling.
Right.
And yeah, I had so much fun watching this. AJ got his stuff in. LA got his stuff in. Both men came out looking like stars in this match.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Sleeper match of the night for me. But again, fantastic. Again, for a match that was put into that, really that cool down spot.
Right.
They delivered what was needed. It put them both back up there where they need to be. I know I've come in here saying that WWE has dropped the ball on both of these competitors leading into this match.
Mm-hmm.
WWE, you put the ball right back in both of their hands.
That they did. That they did. We move on to what for me was a low point of the night. Not because of who won this matchup, but just kind of the shenanigans that there were surrounding this matchup that I knew were going to happen anyways. It was a triple threat match for the WWE United States Championship that went 17 minutes and 40 seconds. We had Logan Paul with I Show Speed defeating Kevin Owens and Randy Orton to retain that championship. Let's start OMD. Your thoughts on this matchup?
I really enjoyed this matchup. All three guys did everything they needed to do. This match delivered on a lot of levels. Randy got to showcase his prowess, his technical abilities, and of course his snake-like abilities.
Right.
KO, being KO, showing the heart, the determination. Logan Paul doing Logan Paul things, but still delivering, giving us those viral moments in the match. I'm okay with this. I was disappointed that, I mean, I had Logan Paul winning anyways. I am disappointed that we didn't get a KO Sammy moment in the ring with the Intercontinental and US titles, a la Benoit Eddie.
Okay. Yeah, that would have been cool.
But for me, this was a good, solid match to start building back up to the main event.
Chris Best.
Yeah, one of my shining moments of the match was KO's entrance coming out on the golf cart and then sitting in the golf cart waiting for Randy Orton to come out, backing up that aisle and being like, come with me, Orton. We'll ride to the ring together. And then Orton just gets in and they ride to the ring together and then immediately running in and beating up on Logan Paul because of, again, the hunger for that United States Championship that both men have for that belt. There were a few low point moments like I Show Speed coming in, which, by the way, I'd like to correct myself from Sunday night because I thought it was KSI who was doing it. It would have made a little bit more sense for KSI because I thought
it was too.
Yeah, it would have made more sense for KSI to do it because of the fact that they have that Prime sponsorship or their partners in making the Prime drinks.
Yeah.
Even though KSI did the spot last year, still would have made sense to do it again this year. I had to laugh though. I can't remember who it was that took him out. I think it was Randy Orton who took him out, and you see him get I Show Speed getting knocked out and then sliding halfway down the commentary area. That just had me laughing. I'm like, I see Orton just look at him like, yeah, he's got to get
Definitely is.
Otherwise, he's gonna slide everywhere.
So, yeah.
You froze up again.
Yeah. All in all,
he frozen up once again.
I completely froze up. Where did I leave off, guys? What was I saying?
Honestly, don't even know where you left off.
During the entrances.
Oh, yeah. When KO backed up and brought Orton to the ring, they ran in, beat up on Logan Paul. That was fantastic because, again, the hunger for the United States Championship. But what I loved again, because I know that I said the KSI and Carl, you heard me about that one. I Show Speed, I think, took that bump from Randy Orton and then went sliding down the ringside area. You could tell Orton was like, okay, we got to get him out of that suit. Otherwise, the next spot's not going to work.
Right. And they did do okay with that. A lot of So there's a time for some comedic stuff. And yes, I know that Kevin Owens is kind of a little bit on that comedic side of things when it comes to his performances. I don't see Randy Orton as that anymore. He has in the past, sure. I think that's what kind of took things away from this matchup for me, was there was a lot of just comedic shenanigan bull crap that happened. And I was really just kind of hoping to see a good professional wrestling match showcasing Logan Paul, who has come out and blatantly said that he is done with boxing and MMA. He is a professional wrestler. But instead of seeing him as a professional wrestler, I'm seeing him as a comedy act. And I would rather not see him in that kind of a light. And this match just kind of more solidified that comedic aspect to me rather than showing me him as a professional wrestler. I wish Randy Orton would have won that. I had, kind of said that's who is going to win. And I had this whole spiel and everything about him using this as a stepping stone for a main championship before he retires. Not going to happen, at least yet, from this at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
But yeah, I agree with you, Carl. I mean, like the comedic stuff, maybe Logan Paul's got to let that go and let his talent shine, because let's face it, the dude's got the friggin' tools to put on a great wrestling match. Mm-hmm. Maybe step away from, like, I know that Prime is his primary company and that he's got to shell it every once in a while, but maybe step away from doing that, because the WWE ring alone was allowing the promotion for Prime. I don't think Logan Paul needs to continue. Like, coming out on the truck was really cool, but I don't think he needed the Prime mascot at ringside with him.
No. I agree that he did not need that at all. Something that we did need came in this next matchup. 14 minutes and 20 seconds of beautiful women's professional wrestling, where we had Io Sky, the champion, taking on Bayley, with Bayley winning the women's championship by pinfall. Once again, by pinfall. I thought that this was absolutely beautiful. And yes, I even got a little bit emotional at seeing Bayley win that matchup and hold that women's championship. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Best is
saying that he loved the triple threat match. I just want to make sure that we get that out there. He's saying Bulkster loves the match and it was great triple threat. So
Mr. Best will tell you that during the PLE watch along, I gave Bailey a standing ovation.
Nice.
After she won.
We all did. And we just, we had that moment of silence to show our respect to Bailey as she held the title high, you know?
She has earned that for everything she has done in the last decade, putting the business before her own career.
Right.
And it's about damn time she got something like that.
It's about damn time.
Now, where does she, now where do we go from here? I asked this on the Window Lickers. Where does she go from here outside of her inevitable rematch with Io? I know we discussed that last night. Or running a gauntlet against Damage Control. Where do we go from here for Bayley?
The list of contenders endless for her because we still have the draft coming up. So there's going to be a lot of women shakeups happening. I mean, Liv Morgan, we still have Alexa Bliss waiting in the wings to make her return. Even Sonya Deville, she might be due to come back soon. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of paths that we can take with these new champions right now.
There are. There's so many that we can take. We don't even know the magnitude of what can actually happen, especially coming from this draft that will be happening the end of this month.
Yeah. So for me going into this match, I was actually nervous for Io because I know that Io tends to get a little bit nervous and botches things when she's on the big stage.
Right.
She didn't. She was fantastic.
Good.
Her and Bailey, everything that they did, like it told that deep story, that story of betrayal coming from Io, the story of Bailey making that monstrous comeback to have the adoration of the fans and winning the championship. One small thing I wouldn't have minded to see, just for one night only, the return of the Bailey buddies would have been really cool.
Why?
Just for that nostalgic pop for me.
Okay. Okay. Let's move on to the final matchup of the night. The following contest was scheduled under Bloodline rules for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, where we had the champion Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman going 33 minutes and 25 seconds against Cody Rhodes and ultimately being defeated by Cody by pinfall once again, as we get a culmination to this Cody Rhodes story, and he becomes the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Oh, freaking emotions.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We're still speechless. Still speechless.
Yeah. I now understand why Marvel fans enjoyed the end of Avengers Endgame because of this. IGN, I'm going to give them credit, put it perfectly when they said this match was a lot like Avengers Endgame, where everybody who's had problems with Roman, everybody who's had problems with The Rock, everybody who's had problems with each other over the last few years came to fruition in this one match.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm still getting goosebumps. I'm still getting emotional over it. To see him be able to give the belt to his mom And the way they booked it under Bloodline rules, it wasn't oversaturated with all of the guest spots. And they were done simply and quickly.
And here's the other thing, too. Going into this match, OMD and I were like, okay, somebody's going to come out to help Cody, but who? We knew Jay right off the bat. We counted out Seth because he was injured and he was selling being hurt at the start of the match. We didn't even factor in John Cena or The Undertaker showing up.
No.
No. We had heard there was potential that there was Cena could be at Mania, but we didn't factor him into that. When the lights went down, I was not expecting it, but I was bracing for I'm better than you and you know it. Not the bell tolling.
Okay. Interesting.
And here and for like the fans who only have been wrestling fans for the last like 15 years or so, the reason why we were so deeply emotionally invested in this is because we grew up with always having a Rhodes to watch on wrestling. We started off with Dusty. We went to Dustin with as Goldust and all his other gimmicks he's had, to Cody. So in our collective wrestling fan lives, we have never been without a Rhodes as far as watching wrestling goes. So the emotional involvement to see Cody take that championship, it just hit that much harder for us, you know?
Yeah. For me, that was, I'm going to go back and say, the boyhood dream has come true. That's how deep this was for me. It's as deep as Sean winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
And I already cannot wait to see who Cody's first challenger is going to be. I really can't. A part of me wants to say it's going to be Jimmy Uso. And I'm excited to see if that does come to fruition. Regardless if it doesn't or not, I think it's still going to be a fun match to watch anyways.
Right.
Yeah. There's a part of me that wants to see the Bloodline sort of take that step back and refocus after Backlash.
Yeah, but with Roman and Rock out of the picture, it kind of makes sense for Jimmy to be the one to step up.
It does. It also makes sense for Solo as the tribal heir to step up. That's why I want to see them sort of, okay, let's refocus, let's gather, create a new plan. And that's where you can introduce now, as we've heard, potential new Bloodline signings in Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga. Now you can introduce those into the mix.
Oh, wow. I mean, I just kind of thought of something. We've been seeing a lot of DX references over the last like while with DIY and all that. Can you imagine Jimmy and Solo out in the ring saying that The Rock dropped the ball, Roman dropped the ball, and then suddenly we see Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu show up, and this is your new Bloodline.
Yep.
I could see that. I definitely could, and I think it would be very, very cool for it to kind of go that way. You know what? I almost thought that Ambrose was going to be coming out when the Shield music hit during that final matchup. A part of me kind of hoped that it was.
Yep.
Yeah, but I had that glimmer of hope because I saw the Shield music. I'm like, wait a minute, what? You know, I had that like what look like because like, and then suddenly I see Seth in the uniform, and there was that small part of me that was like, okay, where's Ambrose?
Yep.
Yeah. Ambrose didn't show up. You know who did show up though?
I mean, he is
What?
Who? I totally lost my train of thought on what I was going to say.
Oh, that's okay. That honestly is the question that everybody is seemingly asking right now. Who showed up? Mm-hmm. Who are we talking about? Hello? That's all we get? If you guys don't understand what we're referencing, we were talking about last night during Monday Night Raw. We saw Bronson Reed with a promo package going on. He was cutting a promo with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal trophy. And the screen glitched, which a lot of us didn't really think too much about until after Raw. And we noticed that there's just this little hello down in the bottom corner. And for all of us at home, we didn't get to see this, but those that were actually in attendance before Monday Night Raw actually came on, there were some weird things happening with the screens as well. Not seemingly showing anything except just kind of white, glitchy looking things going on. Now, the speculations are running wild, brother. And I'm glad that nobody's thinking about Hulk Hogan in this situation. What are you guys making of this, these Easter eggs, so to speak?
Okay, so when I saw the glitches happen during the Bronson Reed promo, there's a glitch in my voice right there. Yeah.
Shifted.
I literally thought it was okay. Our Sportsnet 360 or something's going on with my cable.
Right.
See, and I missed it.
And I was like, oh. And I went to go grab my remote just to try and see if I can fix it. And then it went away. I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's something wrong with the live feed.
Mm-hmm.
And then this morning, before I said when I sent you guys that information, I went on Twitter just to see what kind of wrestling news was going on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, everybody who watched Raw saw that glitch. Something's going on here. And I dug deeper into it. Yeah. And just as I said last night, and I always said, what if Bo Dallas shows up? He kind of did. He kind of did. Anybody who's been watching his Dreadmare YouTube channel promoted something was going to happen last night. And we did see some strange things starting to happen last night.
Yeah.
I missed it during the Raw, watching Raw live last night.
Okay.
And maybe it's because I was focusing on, of course, doing the PL or the Raw Patrol.
Right.
I'm really not sure. I didn't see it until I saw the picture this morning that Chris sent to everybody. And then as well, Chris, just before the show, sent me a link of some eerie music being played in the arena.
Yeah.
Yes. That was before Raw.
And during the commercial breaks too, I found out from other fans who were there.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's news to me. That is new news to me.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And again, watching those videos, I got White Rabbit vibes, just like Bray Wyatt. So I'm saying to everybody who's doing the Raw Patrol, we got to start paying more attention to those backstage promos again.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Get your phone out, because we may see some QR codes or something like that again.
Right.
I hope not.
No.
I hope we don't see any QR codes.
Those were fun to do, by the way.
They were super fun, and I loved each and every one of them. But that was for somebody else.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said QR codes or something along those lines, you know? Maybe we see like a quick flash of a YouTube link and we can get an image of it and boom, it takes us to that link or something. I don't know, you know?
Think a little simplistic right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have our first word.
Hello. So that's where you want to open up your notepad on your computer.
What's another word for hello?
Hi. A greeting.
Bonjour.
Howdy.
Howdy, partner. Howdy, partner. I'm not country at all. Sorry about that. Sorry if that. Don't cancel me. I'm just talking.
I usually say howdy as my usual hello to most people. So,
right.
You have right? The look of the old timey prospector tonight going on. Yeah. Grass.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah. Them suspenders.
Yeah, the suspenders. I'm wearing my Amish Roadkill stuff that I wore to the Mountie show.
That's right. Maybe though, guys, we really need to start paying attention to these little glitches that happen and looking for words.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is as simple as that and not just, everybody is going to catch on to.
And not just words, but maybe some imagery as well that may come up in these glitches. Because I tried to see if there was imagery. I couldn't find anything yet, but I'm still trying to dig into it because there was a lot that was going on in that glitch. So
there was definitely there was. I don't know. This is again, one of those beautiful mysteries within professional wrestling that we are going to have to not necessarily we're going to have to figure it out because it's going to come to fruition at some point, but it's going to be fun. Week after week for us to kind of delve into this a little bit further and maybe decode what is going on.
Yes.
Or this could have just been a glitch in the system. That's a possibility too.
I really don't think it is because after NXT is done, I am going to look and see what kind of stuff he may have done for tonight. Because in the Dreadmare videos, he's mentioned Shawn Spears. He's mentioned Alexa Bliss as well. So.
Yeah, he has. The conspiracy theorist in all of us is coming out now.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, guys, we have now gone an hour and a half with this program. But it did have to do with WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year for us as professional wrestling fans. I do want to thank each and every one of you for coming in, for your comments, and being part of the show. If you were watching us afterwards, please feel free to join us on a Tuesday at 8:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and join in the chat. Talk along with us, leave your comments, questions, and interactions for us. If it's a little more difficult for you to do that on a Tuesday night, then take us on the go with you with Good Pods. Check out goodpods.com/podcasts/turnbuckle-talk-264524. I'm sure if you just type in Turnbuckle Talk into the Good Pods app, you will look for that logo over in the corner, the Bullet Club looking logo that says Turnbuckle Talk, and you can follow us there to listen to us each and every week on the go. Leave us a rating. Currently, we are at number 4 in the weekly indie podcasts for professional wrestling, and I absolutely love that we are still within the top 5. So please go and check that out. And if you're over on the Twitch side for us and have not subscribed to our YouTube channel yet, please take a moment to go over to youtube.com/@turnbuckle_studios. Give us a follow over there because there may be content that is dropping on that that does not always necessarily get thrown over on to Twitch. Chris Best, where can the people find you?
You can find me at youtube.com at CBRS Entertainment, twitch.tv, CBRS underscore entertainment, threads.net at CBestFilms83, facebook.com, chris.best83, tiktok.com, CBRS.entertainment. You can look for me here. The next time you'll see me Friday night, I will be uploading episode 2 of the My Rise Chris Damage story. Saturday night, you can look for me doing CBRS Entertainment, youtube.com, Saturday Night Gaming, where I will be continuing my adventures charted. Next Monday night, you can find me here 8 p.m. Eastern as we do the Raw Patrol, as we are going to be patrolling Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Another hot crowd for wrestling for the WWE. Another straight sellout from what I'm hearing already. And you can look for me Tuesday night next week, 8:05 Eastern, where Carl, OMD, and I will bring to you the wrestling news that you may not particularly know much about.
OMD, give her down, Charlie Brown.
The people can find me on Facebook, Daniel Hrycyk, HRYCYK. On Snapchat, One Man Dynamic, capitals on OMD. On Twitch, OMD17, and on Discord at OMD6370. Visually, the people can find me right here every Monday night on the Raw Patrol with you two gentlemen and a host of other guests. Every Tuesday, right back here with you two gentlemen on Turnbuckle Talk. Thursday on the Boar's Nest with Bubba Duke. And this week, because we've had the last last week we were tied up doing a WrestleMania preview, we will be back and I believe debuting a brand new game.
Ooh, interesting. All right. You can find me at my link tree, linktr.ee/Carl Carafel. That is linktr.ee/KarlKarufel. For those over on Twitch, thank you so much for sticking here with us. I'm going to be throwing you guys over to my friends with The Lounge, who are playing some professional wrestling, the first CWA of 2K24. Good people over there. Please go and check them out and let them know that we sent you over and enjoy the content that they have. For Chris Best, for OMG, and for myself, Carl Carafel, remember everyone, the world's a scary place. Take care of each other.